You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked on Angels.
What up, Angel fans? My name is Lucas Sardo, your host of Locked On Angels today. The resident Socia Cynic would like to welcome you to your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And oh my goodness, do we have a show in store for you that I think you will really, really, really enjoy. I'm going to do a quick intro right now, and we're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to have just a huge show. We have a Wild West Wednesday for you, but it's really me sitting down with somebody talking State of the Angels, State of the Future. There's a lot of things going on. I think you guys will really enjoy it. Quick recap of last night's game. They lost. Shocker. Wow. Also, if my voice sounds a little hoarse right now, I am sorry. I was up a little late. We had a fantasy football draft yesterday. Throat's feeling a little ticklish right now, I will say that. But yeah, it was a bullpen day. I mean, Noe Ramirez gets the start, gives up two earned runs in that first inning, and then, you know, throw a dart at the dartboard, that person was coming up. Ty Buttrey gives up his first run as an Angel, unfortunately. But overall, for a bullpen day, I thought they did pretty well. Generally, I think our bullpen days with the Angels usually turn into 8 or 9 run allowed games, but you know, for only giving up 3 runs to that impressive Rockies lineup, that's always I'm not upset about it. Let's put it that way. But that's my quick intro. We're gonna take a quick commercial break, and my surprise that I've been alluding to, if you listen to yesterday's episode, I think you guys will enjoy this little surprise. So we'll be right back with your Wild West Wednesday. All right, welcome back. We're going to talk some AL West action right now, and the surprise has joined me on the podcast. I would like to introduce a good friend of mine, a friend of the podcast. You might know him. He's a first row rider of this emotional roller coaster that is Angels baseball. His name, Patrick Zajac. Welcome.
Good to be back, man.
Dude, we are on a podcast together. As I was recording yesterday's episode, my doorbell rang. It was Patrick at my house. He came in. We're doing our fantasy football draft.
Yeah, literally flew in for the day, specifically for the fantasy football draft. This isn't a vacation. This is a business trip. I was telling everybody at work before I left, like, this isn't just a one-day-off thing. This is a business trip.
I believe
it. I'm
not
taking a vacation day for this.
No. Patrick, also the reigning champion in this league. So
yeah. Brought the belt with me, too. Where did you put
it? It's over there. Yeah.
Yeah. Brought the belt with me. I couldn't bring the whole trophy, which, fun fact about the trophy, by the way, whiskey decanter on the top, right? It's got that wooden base. Guess where I hid the engagement ring from Emily
in our
apartment for 3 weeks.
Really?
In the trophy.
Really?
She actually lifted up the trophy to clean the apartment at one point. So she like physically handled the engagement ring without knowing. I thought that was absolutely hilarious.
That's awesome. What if she just opened it up? Like, was there any whiskey in it?
Yeah, there was. There was a little bit left. And I knew she wouldn't like go and like refill it or anything. Like, I actually didn't know anything was like what was in there or anything. Like, I thought it was the most perfect hiding spot.
Oh, yeah. That's great. That's great. Yeah. Well, we're here. It's Wild West Wednesday, as we know. You're the guy, the originator of Wild West Wednesday. So let's talk AL West. Why don't we?
Why not?
I mean, the Angels, totally out of it, right?
Yep.
Who do you think's going to win this West? It's wild. Let's say
you can't go against the Astros still. I mean, I know the A's are creeping in there. What, they're two back, two and a half
back
as
right now.
Stands right now. as exciting as the A's are, and not to toot my own horn, but I was tooting the A's pretty hard in spring training that they would finish above the Mariners and give the Angels a run for their money, because I was optimistic about the Angels season. But the A's, I didn't even think that they would be competing the way that they are right now. They're 26 games above 500. That's absurd. But you can't go against the Astros, I said at the beginning of the year, and it's been proven correct throughout the year. They're the best team, I think. Well, even though the Red Sox obviously are doing what they're doing, but come playoff time, I'm taking the Astros.
Yeah, and Astros currently playing the A's. I think the Astros won. So we're recording this on Tuesday, but Astros like won the first game of the series. We'll see what they do games 2 and 3, but A's got to win some games there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I just think with the Astros, especially, not only do you have the talent there and as good as the A's are playing, the Astros have been here before. They have the playoff experience to lean on. I mean, they've played in big games. They played in Game 7 of the World Series and gotten it done. And it's not just like certain guys. It's all guys throughout their lineup. I mean, Josh Reddick got it done in the playoffs last year. George Springer had that massive World Series. And, of course, you got the two guys up the middle, Correa and Altuve, not to mention Verlander and that whole starting
rotation. Right, that whole staff.
The whole team is just nasty. Even though the A's are giving them a run here, I expect the Astros to pull away.
Yeah, top to bottom. They're getting healthy at the right time, too.
Yeah.
Altuve just coming back. I think Correa's healthy. Springer's healthy, too, I believe. That's the roster. That's the envious roster in baseball. What do you think the Mariners? Do you think the Mariners can make a run here?
No. I've been down on the Mariners. Maybe this is coming from now being an Oregonian for 6 years and just acquiring a general disdain for all things Seattle. But no, I wasn't high on the Mariners in the beginning of the year. Even when they were playing well, I knew everyone, even Mariners fans were expecting some sort of collapse. Let me tell you, being up there in the Pacific Northwest, like, oh, wow, watch the Mariners blow. How are they going to blow this one? So, no, I don't think they. It's unfortunate, right? Because you're going to get in a scenario now where, what, the sixth best team in Major League Baseball is going to miss out on the playoffs, which is tough for them, but it's so Mariners. No, I mean, outside of James Paxton, the rotation has been iffy, which, I mean, not to say the A's rotation is a bunch of world beaters.
No.
But I think the A's have a lot more. They have the deeper lineup, and they're just, it's just one of those teams that when you look at today's day and age in baseball, right, it's all about young kids. It's all about calling guys up earlier than usual, having that new energy, that new life into the team. And the Mariners, yeah, that whole Robinson Cano thing. Nelson Cruz is getting up there in age, obviously. Just seems like a much older King Felix as
They're
well.
Aging.
Yeah, you have a much older team that hasn't been there. And it kind of just seems like those veteran guys, I don't want to say going through the motions, but the young guys for the A's are just fired up, man.
Yeah, I agree. And I think for the most part, too, like the A's bullpen, as good as Edwin Diaz has been, like, can you name me another guy in that Mariners bullpen?
No.
I can't think of another one. No, but, like, the A's up and down in that bullpen have just got it done this season. Considering, like you said, like, how, like, iffy those starters have been, they've gotten it done. And those young guys, like, you can just tell, like, there's a hunger to win in them.
And let's give credit, too, to Billy Beane. What's the biggest knock on the A's, right, is that they never go into a buy now or try and win now mode, which for the A's, we have to, like, temper expectations, right? They don't operate like any other team. Them trading for Jairus Familia is a win-now move for them.
Mm-hmm.
As sort of like low on the radar as it was at the trade deadline, or I think a couple of days before the trade deadline, even a couple of weeks before, that's as much of a win-now move as you're going to get from the A's. They're not going to mortgage too much of their future because Billy Beane is going to have to ship off all of these guys
eventually.
Start over. But that's the A's. They're going to take advantage of their, you know, two-year window that they get every so often.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it looks like it's paying off perfectly.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned Robbie Cano earlier. You had the privilege of calling a Robinson Cano home run a couple weeks. Two home runs. The massive home run also.
Yeah.
What was that like?
You know, I always comment with other broadcasters and guys I work with around the Northwest League. We're short season A. I think I've talked about it enough times on the podcast before, but we get guys, first rounders that come through our league, and you can just tell talent wise that they are far superior to everybody else. Because a lot of guys in our league, you know, it's 18 and 19 year olds from the Dominican that are playing in the States for the first time, or you get, you know, sort of those teen draft picks in rounds 10 through 30 usually that populate the roster. So when you get first rounders, it's like, wow, these guys are far and above.
You can tell.
Yeah, and then you throw in Robinson Cano out there, and it's you. I don't want to say you take for granted the major league level, the talent that's on display night in and night out, but I think it just puts it into perspective because not only how good he looks, but how casual Robinson Cano makes it all look, and some of the plays he was making defensively. He was playing third base in one of the games as well. They tried him out at first, second, and third up in Everett because they were still trying to find a spot for him in the lineup when he returns to the Mariners. But, man, it was truly men amongst boys, and he cranked. If the Emeralds missed the playoffs by a game, which we're in the playoff hunt with six games left, we're currently tied for the last spot, but have the tiebreaker. Anyways, six games left. If we finish one game out,
it's his fault.
Yeah, remember the game in Everett because we're up 2-1, bases loaded, two outs in the bottom of the seventh, and he cranks a first pitch grand slam ends up costing us the game off of one of our all star relievers for the year. Sean Berry, going to plug Sean Berry's name, even though no one knows who he is. But I'm just saying, remember that game, because Robinson Cano could have cost the Eugene Emeralds a playoff spot.
Wow, and you guys are looking to make it 2 in 3 years.
Two championships, and for the first time ever in the franchise's, I think, like 64-year history, never made the playoffs 3 years in a row. So trying to do that this year with the worst overall record in the league, mind you, which is hard to do.
Yeah, because
tough to do.
You guys do, like, if you win the first half of the season, you make the playoffs, and then, how does it work?
The season's split into halves. So, basically, you win, then there's two divisions of four teams, only eight teams in the league. If you win the first half, then you clinch a playoff spot, records start anew for the second half. If the same team wins both halves, which is what has happened in our division, Hillsborough has won both halves, it comes down to the best second half record between the other three teams. And let's just say all three of those teams, including the M's, are having tough go at things right now. The M's in a playoff spot at a 14-18 record in the second half.
Yikes.
And 28-42 overall.
Yikes.
But that's, could be playoff bound.
Yeah, I know. Keep the hope alive. Yeah. Gotta get hot at the right time,
exactly.
Right? With baseball. Well, yeah, we kind of fell away from the AL West there for a little bit. But
Wild West, we went Wild Wild Northwest.
Northwest, exactly. well, Angels, what do you got on the rest of this season for you?
I mean, it's been a while, obviously, since I've talked about it in public, but I mean, more of the same sentiment before I stepped away from the podcast. I mean, with this season is a punt. It is what it is at this point. Injuries caught up. Things just didn't bounce their way. Now, you're looking, I mean, if the clock wasn't ticking on the Mike Trout contract, it certainly, there's a hot seat all around the Angels front office, everywhere. I mean, you got 2 years to take advantage of this guy, and you need to push all your chips into the middle of the table for 2019.
Yeah, and I haven't talked about this on the podcast yet, the Mike Trout contract specifically, but if we could learn one thing from what the Nationals did with Bryce Harper, we should not do that. In my opinion, like, they're not going to get anything for him. He's going to walk away from the Nationals. He's probably going to go to the Cubs, honestly, I think. And the Nationals are going to get absolutely zero for him when they could have gotten a ton out of any other contender at the trade deadline, even after the trade deadline, when all that weird stuff was happening with Daniel Murphy and Matt Adams and stuff. We can't let that happen with Mike Trout.
So let's say 2019 or 2020 goes awry. Angels middling around 500, season's not going the way you want it. Do you, I mean, this is the age-old question,
I know.
You start to shop Mike Trout? Because that seems to be what you were alluding to with the Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I think 2019, you don't do it. 2020, if that season looks like this season at the trade deadline, I think you got to do it. I think you have to. You can't let him walk for nothing.
Yeah. I mean,
come on, let's at least get something out of him. If we know he's going to go, if we can't get a contract extension out of him, if we can't do anything, dude, I mean, there's not much of a reason. If we throw together back-to-back-to-back-to-back 500 seasons, why would he stay here?
It's just tough to gauge, right? Because we don't know. Obviously, Mike Trout is a big competitor, but he hasn't made it known, you know, at least not publicly, that, I have to play for a contender. I want to win World Series. I want to rack up the championships, right? You got to think that, obviously,
that's
got to
be the goal, right?
Yeah.
That's got to be the goal.
As a competitor, as an athlete, for sure. But How big of a role does loyalty play? He's not a West Coast guy. Let's keep him in mind. Right?
That's
He's
exactly.
a Jersey guy.
So how loyal is he?
Right. Like, I don't know. I know Phillies fans think he's going to Philly.
Yankees fans think he's going to the Yankees.
I can't see that. I can't. I would. That would be real hard. That would be a hard pill to swallow.
I mean, you got
Trouty in the pinstripes.
Are we going to contend then, though? 2020?
I don't know. The biggest question is the rotation.
Yeah. And are we going to get it done?
I don't know what's out there on free agency.
I'm high on Clay Buchholz. I'm really high on Clay Buchholz.
But Clay Buchholz isn't—he's a four Dude. Or five at this rate.
No, I mean,
Angels
yeah,
need a
he's
one
like 12,
or a two.
He's like 12-4 this year with like a 2.3 ERA. You got to respect it, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
You got to bring him in. You got to respect it. If all everything goes right, we have Shohei as the ace. You bring him as a two or the three. Maybe Drew Pomeranz.
I think
we throw all our money at starting pitching this offseason.
I'm gonna be watching every Shohei Ohtani start next year, like I was watching Garrett Richards starts this year, with
yeah.
just trembling with every pitch.
Oh yeah.
Because, God. I mean, the
we're hanging on a string.
Yeah,
literally
that's
a string.
The problem.
Literally
that's
a string.
The problem. Patrick Corbin's a name that I've thrown out a ton, but I don't know how realistic that is. He is. Probably the marquee free agent.
Bring them both from Arizona.
If
Corbin
Kershaw,
and if Corbin
Kershaw
and
opts
Buffers.
Out of his deal.
No way he does that.
You don't think so?
No way he opts out of that Dodger contract.
It's his last chance at a big deal.
Yeah, but he could also get that deal in LA.
Yeah.
He could opt in and then just sign an extension or go to free agency and just re-sign with the Dodgers for whatever. They're going to give him a blank check.
It's tough because then you gotta if you're spending on free agent pitching you gotta overpay.
What about like DeGrom, Syndergaard? You think we trade for him?
No. What pieces are you gonna move to get him?
We got a lot of pieces. I mean,
the farm system I think is ranked like 10th now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
America update, but who are you giving up? I'm not giving up Jemai Jones. I'm not giving up.
What about like
Jordan?
What about I think we?
I'm not giving up Joe Adele.
I know. I think you'd have to give up more major league ready prospects. So I think you're looking like Matt Tace, Taylor Ward.
Tace, God.
I know.
Tace is
maybe
be your
Griffin
opening day first baseman.
Maybe Griffin Canning.
Yeah.
Do you give that up for DeGrom or Syndergaard?
I think so. I mean, for those, if you're talking like the prospects 6 through 10 in the Angels system. Probably, because you got to contend in 2019 and 2020.
Agreed.
And if you don't, then yeah, 2020 trade deadline. That's when we face the music, I think. See where we are.
So would you trade him? Would you trade Trout? 2020, we're at 500 at the trade deadline. What do you do?
How many games out?
8.
Of the wild card?
Of the wild card.
Yeah, trade him. Get out of here.
8 out of the division. Division.
How far back are the wild card?
5.
It just sucks because then at that point you're still talking. At that point you're assuming 2019 we didn't make the playoffs.
Put us in the exact same position that the Nationals were this year. So they were like 7 out of the division and like 5 out of the wild card.
But here's where the Nationals situation is different, right? You had your shots. Like the Nationals
yeah,
were
true.
In the playoffs year after year after year. So it's not as if you're losing Bryce Harper for nothing, but you had your shots. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Like, you had your shots in the playoffs. That's what more could you ask for? You got in there.
So you think it's okay that they didn't trade him?
I think so.
No, dude. No way.
I think so.
Because with that logic, if you say we had our shots with him, then you should have no problem getting rid of him.
That's fair. But how far were they out at the trade deadline? I don't feel like
they were like 7 games out. They were like right at 500.
But I think they believe that with the guys that they had, that they could still make a run at this.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Do we think that as an Angels fan?
But see, that's where it's different, right? Because you had the runs to go back on. Whereas the Angels with Trout, it's like, okay, 2020, we're 7 games out again. We've made the playoffs once with this guy in the last decade. And we got swept rather
right.
unceremoniously out of the playoffs.
So you're saying we still got to go all in, keep them, and just let them walk after the season?
No, I think...
get rid of him,
yeah,
right?
Get rid of him. Because it's not working.
The inevitable...
Plain and simple, not working.
Yeah, I agree. As good as he is.
That'll be a dark day. That'll be a tough trade to pull the trigger on.
Yes. Imagine being on the phone.
And to be honest, I don't think Billy Epler, the current front office, survives that. Just because...
Really?
Just because... I mean, think about it. You had... For one, front offices don't last too long in today's day and age. In sports in general. Like,
yeah.
Football is kind of the exception because they fire everybody after 2 years. But for the most part, like, how long of a shot do you get as a GM? You get 4 or 5 years, roughly, to put together your team, build your organization the way you want it, and see where they're at. If by 2020 the Angels aren't contending, that means we're talking about Billy Epler being here for 5 years with no postseason.
And it's not working. Right.
As much as we all like Billy Epler and what he's done, especially to build up the farm system and make moves that perceptively have helped the Major League roster, at the end of the day, if we're talking mid-season 2020, we're still not in the playoff hunt and haven't made the playoffs, like, that's not something that he survives.
Yeah. All right, last question. Who's the manager next season? Who's steering the boat? Opening day, 2019.
You know, I've heard, I think it's Mike, one of the great listeners of this show, has thrown out Torrey Hunter's name.
Yeah.
I don't, and you know, it's not as far-fetched as that would have seemed just a couple years ago. First-year managers with no prior managerial experience are like seemingly the norm in Major League Baseball, which I think is just crazy.
Weird.
Especially what the Yankees did in the offseason. Like, gave away Joe Girardi, who took you to Game 7 of the ALCS in a rebuilding year.
I know.
And got rid of him for Aaron Boone, who was in the booth for a couple of years.
I think Dave Roberts was a first-time manager, too, when he came in with the Dodgers.
So, honestly, like, anything could be on there. I could see Torrey Hunter. I think a sneaky candidate is Eric Chavez.
I think he might be the front runner.
I could also see Dino Ebel getting a shot at it.
I don't want him. As much as I love Dino, I don't want him there. I think we just got to get... get as far away from the Mike Socha, like, tree as we can.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. I was just throwing out names, but I don't really know who else is out there. Is the thing, and I was saying that when I was defending Socha.
So
who do you get?
Yeah, well, I like Darren. The Darren Erstad thing is very interesting too, because he's head coaching at Nebraska, so he got a little coaching experience there. Be interesting to see. A lot of people,
but it's not like what has he done in Nebraska? Like,
I don't follow.
No,
they're not like a parade.
I don't hear about them going to Omaha.
No, but I mean, he's got managerial experience.
He's got to recruit and he's got
to
bring
kids
to go.
Another guy people don't talk about as much as I think you might should. Troy Percival is the head coach at UCR right now also.
Yeah.
And they've had like some sneaky runs, I will say that. But, and they're in a tough division. With like Long Beach State,
West,
and,
yeah.
So I don't know. I think he's a sneaky pick, Troy Percival.
Yeah, but at the same, are we just getting too nostalgic with just
maybe
we just listed off?
Let's throw Tim Salmon in there too.
Maybe
what's David Eckstein doing?
Yeah. David Eckstein could join him. Just bring back that whole O2 squad. GA could coach first. And like, we could just run it back there. Adam Kennedy.
Give me some Jared Washburn action as the pitching coach.
Scott Spezio
with a little soul patch.
What about Benji?
Benji? Little bench coach action right there.
Or is there like a player on the precipice or that has retired recently that we're not thinking of? That, you know, usually it's catchers that make the easy transition. I don't know who it would be, though.
I don't know, dude.
There's not really many Angel ties.
No.
It's tough.
Not of late.
And so she said, even after that report came out,
said he's not done.
Poppycock.
Yeah.
Poppycock.
If he's the manager next season,
which I love that word, by the way,
I would consider a full-on boycott.
What does that mean?
Like, I won't go to games. I won't watch games. I will run this podcast without watching games. I'm not joking. I would seriously consider a full-on boycott. Because there is no...
You're going to pull up a box score before you record
every single time. Every single time. It will be box scores
like
on EF.
Trout had two singles. I wonder if they were little Gork shots or he hit them hard. Or, I don't know.
I would go box scores and Baseball Reference to run these podcasts because I couldn't handle it. I could not handle it. He's long extended his stay here in Anaheim.
I've come around and said that there needs to be a new voice, but I'm not going to say I'm going to boycott.
No.
Yeah, there's few things that a team can do that would make me boycott.
Whatever.
It's tough.
All right, that's all we got for Wild West Wednesday. We'll come back to close out the show after this. All right, we're back. We're going to close out this show. Pat, you got any last words?
Not much. As always, Twitter, at OtherPatZajac. Great follow, posting some great M stuff as the playoff stretch in the Northwest League heats up and the Emeralds try and make history, making the playoffs in professional baseball with the worst overall record in the league. Tough to do. Oregon fans, I know there's a lot of them in Southern California, Locked On Ducks, brand new podcast on the collegiate sports side of things, so you can catch me there as well. But that's all I got, man. Thanks for bringing me back.
Dude, thanks for coming down. I can't wait for this fantasy football draft. Let's get our drink on right now.
Defend the title.
Yeah, let's see.
Defend the belt.
That's all we got for you today, though. I'm Lucas Sardo. You can find me at LucasSardo13 on my own personal Twitter. But more importantly, you should follow the podcast Twitter page. Pat, you remember what that is?
Locked On Angels.
Yes, at Locked On Angels. Go over to that. Go to our website, LockedOnAngels.com. If you have any other questions or comments or concerns, you want to talk about Patrick, you want to, you know, make fun of him or anything like that, you can also, if you don't have a Twitter, you can email me, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. That's all we got today. Adios.
Peace.